Happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome to the latest Cyclone Fanatic podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. Today, powered by the Iowa Clinic Men's Center. And we're going to tell you a lot more about our new partnership with the Iowa Clinic Men's Center here later on during the podcast. But before we do that, Tommy Birch, Des Moines Register, DesMoinesRegister.com, at Tommy Birch, I believe, on Twitter.
I have a Facebook page, too.
Do you have, like, a fan Facebook page?
Fan is very strong. I mean, I tell my wife that. She gives me a lot of crap for it. But
how many fans do you have?
It's like 260, 270, somewhere in there. There are a lot of Cub fans. And you know, my mom goes through, and she likes everything.
Nice.
I know she doesn't click on it because she, you know, I tried quizzing her on this. She literally had no idea what was being put up there.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
I don't have that. I just have like a personal profile page.
I have that too. I follow the Fanatic on Facebook as well.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
Yeah.
We also much appreciate the Iowa Clinic Men's Center who stepping up to sponsor the Williams/Birch Tuesday podcast for the football season here at CycloneFanatic.com. And it's a great deal, Iowa Clinic. Across the board has been a great supporter of our website for years now, and it's fitting, Tommy, the Men's Center. When's the last time you've got to the doctor? Just be honest.
Like for
a physical. I'm not talking like if you had like a sniffly nose or anything. I'm talking like you actually needed to go to the doctor, like to get your annual physical.
I would say probably high school.
Oh, man. See, yeah. And you're how old now?
I'm 30.
Yeah, that's an issue.
Yeah.
That is an issue.
They're going to be pissed at me.
Yeah.
Well, I'm scared to know what they're going to find.
That, well, you know what? And I recently did that, and everything was high.
Yeah.
Everything was high.
And look at you. You are in phenomenal shape.
Well, I don't know about
you have the body of a Greek god. And
tell that to my wife.
I don't even know. My body is like a drunken clown. So, you know.
You just refer to yourself as a drunken clown. I
the
love
body
it.
Of one.
I love it. Anyways, we're going to educate you on the Iowa Clinic Men's Center throughout the football season here on the Cyclone Fanatic podcast. We appreciate them stepping up to the plate. Tommy, we got to talk Iowa State football as it's game week.
Sure.
And, boy, Iowa State's got its hands full with the three-time defending FCS champions coming up. I found it interesting yesterday, before we get to some depth chart moves, I want to talk about the betting line moving in favor of the Cyclones. Now, I know you're like Mr. Legitimate Journalist over here.
And I have no money to bet.
Nor do I. But let's talk point. Can you talk point spread?
Yeah,
is that like
is that
ethical for you?
I think so.
Okay.
If not, we won't tell anyone.
No, I'm just josting you. But regardless, the betting line, it opened up at – I don't know if it opened at 2. I don't know if that's the right terminology because this is all offshore anyways.
Sure.
So
off
it's,
the books.
It's all illegitimate.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all like – as far as the betting world goes, these are like the hack bloggers who are publishing these betting lines.
Like Cayman Island bank account betting
correct.
Type stuff.
Yeah, this type of stuff. But it was – like 2 weeks ago, Five Dimes, which is a popular one, they come out with the line, North Dakota State is favored by 2 over the Cyclones at home. And this causes a stir locally. I mean, this is leading off talk radio. I got Hawk fans blowing up my Twitter feed, mocking Iowa State. Yesterday, it moves to 3.5 in favor of the Cyclones. I call up Ken Miller from 1460 KXNO. He knows a lot about the sports betting field.
He's a big bettor.
He is. And I asked him, I go, what do you take of this? Probably some money's on Iowa State, but this isn't a deal where this is not a hot game for gamblers. This is not a game where hundreds of thousands of dollars are going to be betted on.
People are just throwing down big wads of sweaty cash in Vegas.
Absolutely not going to happen here.
Yeah.
So mainly the thought is that the line was a little bit faulty to begin with, which I know I was talking with Travis Hines from the Ames Tribune yesterday, and we kind of thought that too, that just seemed like a – I don't care if they've won 4 straight against FBS. I mean, there's just so many question marks with that football team. And Iowa State's at home to me, this line makes a lot more sense. If I were to bet this game, I would have a harder time with the 3.5 line making a decision because they want you to be 50-50. They want the money 50-50 yep. when it comes to this. I would have a harder time making a decision with the 3.5 than Iowa State at plus 2 at home to an FCS team. I don't know about you. I feel like this one's more accurate.
See, I think the original line came out just based off of what North Dakota State had done before. It wasn't really looking at the X's and O's, is what they had back, yada-da-da-da, blah-blah-blah.
Yeah.
But I think this one is more like, okay, they've lost virtually everybody. These guys, nobody knows who the hell they are. Iowa State returns a lot of guys. They've got a solid offense, more of a breaking down type deal, and it's in Ames. I mean, anytime mm-hmm. it's got to take a lot for the home team to not be favored, and especially when you have FBS, FCS opponent type deal and all that jazz. So this makes more sense to me. I think Iowa State is the favorite. If I had money to throw down, I would.
Yeah.
On Iowa State.
Well, and, you know, from a gambler's standpoint, and I truly don't do it anymore, but I used to back when I was, like, in college and stuff. And mm-hmm. this is where, not necessarily this game, but this week, is where an educated gambler can make a killing.
Yeah.
For instance, if you look at Baylor and their non-conference games since the Art Briles era kind of took off, I mean, they're unbeatable at home
yeah.
against the spread. There are certain nuances out there in the betting world when it comes to week one where you really can make a killing because these lines are, like, say, the North Dakota State thing. I mean, they threw that two out there, I think, to entice some betting. That's exactly what they got. I don't think that it's been a true 5.5-point swing.
Sure.
But at the same token, I think that that's an interesting game. I wouldn't put your mortgage on it, though. I mean, it's still a North Dakota State team that's won 3 straight. I think they're actually, Tommy, the more research I do on the – are they the Bison or the Bison?
Bison,
I believe. See, I was told the Bison.
Bison.
Scott Sipker told me they're the Bison.
Bison.
Because I called them the Bison on Bison. Saturday night at our party.
Yes.
And Sipker goes, I believe they refer to be – they prefer to be called the Bison.
Now, the Iowa nice guy, he being nice and all that he is, he can be a liar at times,
he can.
Too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
Whatever they are, I mean, I still like Iowa State. I think it'll be a close game, though. I don't think it's going to be
an
easy one.
Yeah, it would shock me if it's a field goal.
Yeah, and it's certainly not going to be what it was when Paul Rhodes took over. You know, one, they're going to have headsets that work, and two, you know, I think it's going to be a close game. I wouldn't be surprised if it comes down to a field goal or two. But if you're an Iowa State fan, a win's a win. Who cares how you get it?
Yeah, I would agree, and that's going to be the basis of – well, I'm going to write about that later on.
I'm sure there are plenty of Cyclone fans that are thinking this is definitely not winnable. This may not be a winnable game. I'm sure there are a lot of people would see the glasses half empty.
They shouldn't, though. I mean
– not that it's not a winnable – it's a winnable game, but they could lose this.
Maybe this is just like just utter arrogance by me, and it very well could be. Gary Reimer would punch me in the face if he heard me say this. But a 3-9, even if Iowa State 3-9 this year, a 3-9 Big 12 team should be able to beat the best FCS team in America at home.
I agree.
They should.
They
with
should.
With the scholarships, with the money, the facilities, you're paying your coaches more. You should be able to beat an FCS team at home.
But that same 3-9 team did not be an FCS team at home last season.
That's my point. And this is why Paul Rhodes just cannot lose this game. Lose this game.
Yeah,
he can't lose the game.
You lose this game, and you're probably starting this season 0-3.
Oh, absolutely.
No.
But I think if they win, they have a legitimate chance to beat Kansas State. They are so due against that program.
Yep, and they Coach Rhodes and a lot of the players said last year how the UNI game really set the tone for the rest of the season.
Yep,
you know it gave them a sour taste. They were almost a team that had all their confidence in the world taken away from them. They were kicked in the gut and almost couldn't get back on their feet until the Texas game. It was like they were getting back on their feet during the Texas game.
Yeah.
And then when they lost that fumble, you know, that referee just came and kicked them square in the face and the junk all at once.
Yeah. That was Oh, but this is the worst Cyclone reaction show I've ever. Well, second worst. The Baylor game last year was the worst.
Yeah, I bet that was brutal.
Actually, the UNI game might have been worse because I think most people turned us off.
Mm-hmm.
After the Baylor game, they didn't even want to talk about it. The Northern Iowa game, you know, everybody's driving home from the. Oh, that was a. Ugh, that was a doozy. Williams and Birch here. Little podcast action on your Tuesday. The Iowa Clinic Men's Center with locations in Altoona. The Ankeny campus. That's where I go, Tommy. I go to the one in Ankeny. Doc Nicholson is my guy.
That sounds like a trustworthy fella.
Great. Great.
Yeah.
Just absolutely fantastic experience. Johnston, Waukee, the West Lakes campus down there in West Des Moines. Also in Des Moines, the Methodist Medical Center, Plaza Number 2. Give them a call at 515-875-9801.
Should have them call me.
We should. We need to get you in. You really, Tommy, I'm not kidding. You need to get a physical.
We could do one during a podcast.
We did this. We did this. I had high blood pressure. We should do one during a podcast.
Yeah.
That'd be outstanding. That'd be outstanding. High blood pressure, blood sugar, something that starts with a T. Everything
yeah,
is high.
Lot of stuff going down.
Yeah, you know what, though? It's good, though, because I found out, and now I can address it.
Making some changes.
Depth chart changes for Iowa State. The depth charts are weird because they don't really mean a ton, but they're like when you're not at practice every day, it's really your only barometer as to what's going on. And oftentimes they're trying to screw with you, I feel like, when they give you a depth chart. For instance, yesterday, the whole like mix-up of what was going on at kick return.
Yeah.
And there was just a typo on the depth chart.
But I look like a big idiot.
And it was just a typo. It's all they weren't trying to deceive us or anything like that. But so you ask Paul Rhodes at the press conference, because this was a topic that I was profoundly interested in.
Yeah.
All fall camp long, and I still am today, that they're going to let Aaron Wimberly return kicks. Well, maybe, because then Paul's talking about, well, there's three guys. He's a good third option. I still don't really know who's going to return the opening kick. My guess would be Devondrick Neely and Jarvis West would be back there.
I like those two. I think both those guys are fantastic options.
Tommy, they returned two of the four longest kicks in Iowa State history
this year. So why mess with Aaron Wimberly? It's a guy that was dinged up a lot last year. He's going to be your primary tailback. Why even throw him out there? Because special teams, it's dangerous. You know, it's guys are wrecking havoc on you, and you know you're getting hit and thrown. It's like being in one of your little WWE fights. WWE Raw
coming to Des Moines next Monday.
Yeah, it's like being in that. And you know, I don't understand the risk to reward part of having Wimberly out there. Both those guys can break off a kick return at any point.
I still feel like the Wimberly thing is just a smokescreen, but I don't know why. I mean, it's kick return. I don't get why it's that big of a deal, but I can't wrap my mind around why you would put a guy that valuable to your offense back there, especially one who had multiple injuries last year.
It's like putting Sam Richardson back there.
You know what? And maybe he'll return the opening kickoff on Saturday afternoon for a touchdown, and I'll eat crow gladly. But I have a hard time wrapping my mind around why you would do that. But anyway, my guess is it's going to be Neely and West. I don't think that they're going to let Aaron Wimberly return kicks, but I guess we'll find out. Let's go to wide receiver, because I think this was interesting. Dondre Daly's a guy who, I don't know about you, but since the day he got on campus, I've heard about how talented Dondre Daly is. And he's a guy who's 6'2", 190. He's got the body. Looks good. You know, some guys look good on the field. I think Dondre Daly and P.J. Harris, the guy behind him at 6'2", 164, he's not as big. But I think they both look really good in a uniform. They look like Big 12 football players. And I wasn't really surprised at all to see Dondre Daly. I've heard he had a really good camp. The one thing I was surprised about was to see DeVario Montgomery at fourth.
Yeah.
I mean,
he was the number two guy at one point.
Well,
other spot behind Bundridge.
When we went to the open practice to launch camp, he was running with the ones.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I think we've heard from DeVario a couple of times, and we talked about it on the podcast before. He's kind of hinted that he's been in the doghouse at some points. You know, he was that a couple of weeks ago. He said, "Yeah, I'm, you know, borderline. I'm just happy to be here," type deal. He almost felt like, "Wow, what was this kid up to?" And I almost wonder if this is like a statement type thing, maybe clearing up some off season in house stuff, maybe that we'll never know about, and maybe he's just not the top one or two guys. Maybe he is four. I don't believe that though. I think he is one of their top guys.
He's 6'5", 219.
He's an animal.
Yeah,
you could just throw it up there. He catches it. It's kind of like the guy. It's like the what were those old like tennis balls you just throw and they catch
the Velcro?
The Velcro.
Yeah,
it's like him. You just throw it up there and he'll stick to him.
He looks like those guys like USC's, like Mike Williams.
And, yeah,
I mean that's the type of guy he looks like.
And he's got that big beard too.
Yeah, he's just a animal.
He has got the perfect body type for that position. Think about him and Alan Lazard out there. Those are two really big,
6'5",
lengthy
yeah.
bodies that, I mean, those are Todd Blight type bodies.
And then I would venture to say that Lazard is a true freshman, has a better football body than Todd Blight did as a senior.
Todd Blight was very, I know at least coming in, he wasn't very muscular.
He needed
very
that
skinny.
Red shirt year.
Yeah, yeah. Lazard, he's ready to go right now.
And he will play. Paul Rhodes confirmed that. The most intriguing thing about the wide receiver depth chart to me is the fact that Tad Ekby was a starter yeah. for six games last year in his third string.
That just shows
the 2014 season.
All the depth they have. I mean, look at all these guys who they have out there. Daly, Harris, Ekby, Montgomery. Then you've got even Jarvis West, too. Bunderich.
Yeah.
And Lazard. I mean, all those guys are very capable of catching the ball and not just catching it, but contributing, getting a lot of yards after catch. I mean, Bunderich was the best guy out there last season. I don't even know if he's the best wide receiver option this season.
Yeah,
I really like Jarvis West.
I do too. I'm glad you mentioned that because I feel like, I mean, of all the stuff we've all written in the offseason, I feel like if there's any guy on the team who hasn't gotten the amount of love, it would be Jarvis West.
He got hurt last year. He was on pace for a fantastic season. He's small, shifty, he's fast. That guy just reeks of confidence, too.
And Paul has noted numerous times how, of all the injuries last year, he thought that the one to Jarvis West was perhaps the most damning to his football team.
Yeah. Does a ton of stuff for you on special teams and that offense. And, you know, with that small size, he made it sound like that. I don't know if you were there, but he kind of compared him to Troy Davis in terms of his blocking abilities
mm-hmm.
with that small size. Like, he catches people totally off guard. Because how tall is he?
He's only 5'7", 171.
Now,
he squats like 525 pounds.
Yeah, that's like two of me.
That's insane.
He is shorter than me, too.
Yeah, he is.
I'm not a very tall man.
Well,
and, I mean, that I think that's the most fascinating thing, too, is how he uses that small size to his advantage. You know, Rhodes has said before, he can see things that people don't see. He can do things that a lot of people can't do. And it's very sneaky and elusive the way he moves around. He's an absolute blast to watch.
How much stock are you putting in the wide receiver depth chart then? Like, are you specifically Montgomery? Because that's the guy that people want to know about.
Yeah,
is he?
He's got to play more.
So you're not buying that he's fourth string. You're buying what, second string reps, first string reps come Saturday night?
First or second team? I think this is more of a hand slapping type thing, maybe.
But it sounded like everybody was getting along. It sounded like they were, you know, like DeVario and the Manginos had really changed him up. I mean, that's why I'm surprised by this.
But who knows? This is something that could have happened long before, and they said,
yeah,
you know, we're
maybe
gonna,
it's something that happened like in the spring, and they were like, hey, we're not going to start you the first game. Or,
yep. So, and you know, the real cool thing about Montgomery too is, and you may read this at DesMoinesRegister.com. And
when
is it out? Possibly tomorrow.
Okay.
And I've heard that your guy Roberto Gray is working on something as well.
I mean, the Sam Richardson connection.
Yeah. I mean, that's fascinating. I mean, those guys, they're really close in high school. It sounds like they're best buds now, which is kind of funny. They seem like totally opposite dudes.
Yeah, they really do.
You've got got Montgomery, who kind of has that little cockiness to him, that which, I mean, all wide receivers do. They're all cocky. I think that's awesome. I love it. Yeah, I want a cocky
you pretty much have to
receiver.
Want the ball, because if you don't want the ball, then
And Sam is just kind of, you know,
he's the most nonchalant player I think I've ever covered.
He's like Jim Halpert on The Office.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's really good. He's just a chill dude.
Just hanging out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
Sam's good. I like talking to Sam. Sam doesn't say much, but he's fun to talk to. You know what I mean? He's a neat kid. All right, let's go to the line.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to make a huge deal out of Jamison Locke jumping Oney Emoli, only in the sense that I think they're both going to play a lot.
Yeah.
I think that's the case when you go really up and down the line. I think even, you know, Brock Daigle's had some injuries here recently over the last year. So Jacob Dunning took some good reps last year. I mean, I don't think you want Jacob Dunning starting at left tackle for you, but I think he's capable of filling in. Same with Campos over at right tackle. He'll play some snaps this year, and I think he'll do a fine job. I don't think he's ready to start in the Big 12, but I think he's a capable Band-Aid. But really at that left guard spot, I mean, with Locke, Oney Emoli, and the JUCO, Wendell Taiese, 332 pounds, all 6'6" of him. He's going to play some reps too, be it on the goal line or whatever. So Paul Rhodes said that he wanted his best five linemen out there. Apparently Jamison Locke jumped Oney Emoli along the way, because Paul pretty much had his line set on like the second day of camp is what he told us.
Yeah.
That apparently wasn't the case. I guess that's why you have competition.
Yeah, and I, you know, he had always mentioned that it sounded like Jamison Locke was going to be Tom Farniok's backup as soon as Ben went down with that season-ending injury or career-ending injury. Jamison had played some center. They were kind of rotating him, but he left open the idea that, yeah, he's still going to play some guard. But it's like you said, and then he won his five best guys, and he figured those are the five best.
Can I make an analysis on the center thing real quick?
Yeah.
My guess would be, knock on wood, if Tom Farniok were to go down on Saturday, that Jamison Locke would still be the backup center.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm buying Nick Seavers being that backup. I know he's he's done well.
Didn't they do the same thing last year, though?
Yeah. I mean,
where they moved Locke over. Wasn't it Locke?
Yeah.
I think who moved to center when Farniok went down, even though Ben Loth was number two on the depth chart.
They both played, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think Jamison Locke is
because Locke got hurt, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Loth had to come in.
Yeah. Everybody that could have played center played center last season.
Because I just remember talking about, like, what happens if Ben Loth goes down? Are you pulling the red shirt, Nick? I think that was the plan. To pull Seavers'
Can you imagine that? Wow.
Oh, that would have been bad.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it couldn't have been much worse than it already was.
That's true.
As far as
make
their injuries
a point
go
there
on that line.
But yeah, I think Jamison is the guy there. I don't, you know, they've said that Nick Seavers has come a long ways over
He's still a freshman.
But yeah, he's very young. That's a big responsibility to be throwing out to him. And you've got enough depth, especially at that left guard position with Oney and, you know, Wendell, both guys that can play that position, that if you had to move Jamison over, I think that's totally fine. Not a big deal.
Okay. So we're on the same page.
I think so. I smell what you're cooking.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to talk about EJ Bibbs quickly.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you listened to the North Dakota State coach, Chris Kleiman. He had a press conference yesterday. I have it on the front page of CycloneFanatic.com if you want to check it out. Or you can go click on the little CFTV video tab. It's up there. North Dakota State put it up on YouTube and everything. It was nice. But nonetheless, the one quote that stood out to me from it, Tommy, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to it yet. He has a teleconference later on today, too. But he said that they have no one who can match up with EJ Bibbs. We got absolutely no one who can match up with the Iowa State tight end. I don't know if that's probably a little bit of coach speak there, but I think there's a lot of truth in it, too, when you're talking 6'3", 264, E.J. Bibbs, top tight end of the Big 12, we think. With a new offense, I think that nice 264-pound target could get used heavily by Sam Richardson. Because, you know, they know the offense. Sure, they know they're familiar with each other at this point. But there's the whole security blanket tight end type deal that I still think that you can't ignore.
Yeah.
And there's some unfamiliarities. There's some rust to work out on the first week. I think E.J. Bibbs could have like a 2-touchdown game on Saturday.
Yeah, I think he's in line for a big game because you look at it right away, any way you could use Bibbs is probably going to be simple.
Yeah.
Simple set plays that can, with high percentage success type passes, short, quick passes, stuff like that, that he can probably do some damage on with that big size. And, you know, that North Dakota State defense is more built to stop the running game. If I'm Aaron Wimberly and Devondrick Neely, you know, those guys probably aren't going to get their token amount of touches during this game. I don't think it's going to be very well representative of the type of offense you'll probably see all season. I don't think it'll be as balanced. You're going to see a lot more passing, I'm sure, this first game. And it's like you said, why not use Bibbs? I mean, that's a target I think you're going to see a lot more all season, too. Because Mangino does like using his tight ends, too.
Yeah.
So, and he's got a big target right there. And then Ben Bozen, too. So.
Yeah, new scholarship.
Yeah.
Ben Bozen.
Getting paid.
No longer walk on.
Getting his money.
He's getting paid to be there.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know if anybody can really match up with Bibbs. I mean, that's one big dude.
We haven't talked about the defense. Is there anything that stood out to you on the defense? Really, there were no surprises. A lot of people talk. I mean, the Devlin cousin Brandon Jensen thing didn't. I mean, they're whatever. Yeah. They're both starting.
I mean, the big thing that shocked me was still Drake Furch.
You know what? That shocked me 2 weeks ago. It doesn't shock me now.
It still surprises me. I almost thought. I still think to a certain degree that man is. What's Jared Brackens done?
I wonder if he's just in trouble.
Yeah.
For the first game.
That could be.
It's an internal thing.
Could be.
That's the only thing.
He was in the doghouse last year.
Yeah, well, we know that.
I don't know if he ever got out of the doghouse.
You can just tell when Rhodes is asked about Furch. I asked about Furch on Media Day. And,
yeah.
And Paul gave me a little bit of a, I don't know if I call it a cold answer, but it was like a, he's a better player type deal. Just to paraphrase. And somebody asked about Drake Furch again yesterday. And it's almost if like everything he says about Drake Furch is the opposite of what he feels about Jared Brackens. That's how I read what he's saying. Nonetheless, Brackens started 12 games last year.
Yeah.
He played as a true freshman at Iowa State. There's clearly something there.
Yeah.
That they
he's a very talented player.
They're both going to play.
Yeah.
But neither are going to play much, I don't believe, in the first three games.
No.
Because they're not going to be in the nickel package much against either of those three teams. So let's just kind of feel this thing out, and we'll address it come week five when the Baylor Bears come to town.
And Furch, he's getting paid too.
Furch is getting paid as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Make that money.
Money, money, money.
Make that money. But not, you know what? I'm just kind of – I'm going to play that one by ear.
Yeah, yeah. It's early.
But I – you know, because the Furches – they've got the fan club
on
Twitter, and they will.
You do not want to attack
them. If you more or less just question anything about Drake Furch, you're going to get just hammered on
Twitter. They will come at you hard.
Yeah, those Eastern Iowa folk get really – they protect their own, which I appreciate. So I am the number – I'm the charter member of the Drake Furch fan club.
Yeah.
Because I want those people to like me.
I like you.
Well, thank you.
But they do. That goes a long way. I mean, there are a lot of people in State Center with Twitter.
Absolutely. All right. Iowa Clinic Men's Center here bringing you today's Cyclone Fanatic podcast. Tommy Birch, beat writer of the Des Moines Register. We'll have another podcast coming up tomorrow. Well, Tommy won't, but I will. Trey Scott from AllCyclones.com going to join me before he ventures down to Texas.
That's like his walk-off.
Yeah. He's going to come and
throw the headset down and ride off into the Texas sunset, into the Texas Book Depository.
With a tumbleweed.
Yeah.
In the background. Now, Trey announced on Twitter last night, we've known this for a while, but he's moving back to Texas, so he's become a friend of both of ours, I know. We wish Trey nothing but the best. He'll join me Wednesday on the Mr. B Clothing podcast. Also, Rob Gray, Cyclone Fanatics senior writer. I like to call him that because
makes him sound old.
Yeah, I like make Rob feel old. He's going to join me as well. Then later on in the week, the Senator, Jack Whitford, and I will do what we're going to do every Friday all college football season long. It's going to be more of a broad look at the Big 12 and also college football in general, our little Cyclone Fanatic college football preview. That will be coming up on Friday as far as podcasts go. Brent Bloom is North Dakota State preview column coming up on Wednesday. So we got a jam-packed week at CycloneFanatic.com. Tommy, you and I are going to record a video this afternoon.
Yep.
At DesMoinesRegister.com.
Yeah.
You guys have, like, man, this crazy good video equipment. You go in there and it's like a TV studio.
Yeah, we've got green screen. They've got cameras, computers. I mean, it sounds relatively normal, but I'm not doing justice by saying cameras and computers, but this high-tech stuff.
Like, you guys they're laptops. Laptops. And here's the thing. You don't even have to have it plugged into the wall to get internet.
Oh, yeah. Well, and the, you know, I feel, God, I want to go in there sometime and really have some fun with that green screen, you know. I want to do the weather sometime.
Yeah. It still fascinates me. We'll have to get Brett McIntyre on the podcast sometime. Yeah. How they don't get confused where their hand is. Mm-hmm. You know, when they're pointing, well, here's up here in Story County, you're going to have torrential rainfall for the next four. Well, that would be really hard to, like, look at the monitor.
Yeah.
Which is what they're doing, but they're really just pointing at a big green wall.
I would find a way to, like, point at stuff, you know, like over the shoulder, in between my arms, under my legs, just keeping the audience.
Did you ever see Mike Leach doing the weather clip?
No. That sounds awesome.
YouTube that, and that would be you doing the weather. That'd be very similar.
You know, I feel like I can handle the weather just being like, we have some precipitation coming in from the east. It may blow back to the west. We could have some rainfall come around 5 p.m. I think we'll get about 10 to 12 inches, but if that blows back, it should make for a sunny day tomorrow.
I wish people could see the hand motions you just gave right there. Let's talk just briefly Big 12. Before we go, because we gotta head downtown. We're recording this, and this is the earliest the Cyclone Fanatic podcast has ever been recorded.
Wow, I feel a part of history.
Yeah, no, this is a big deal. This week in the Big 12 Conference, just to do a brief look ahead. Boy, I gotta be honest with you, Tommy. I think the Big 12 is gonna get waxed this weekend.
This is a very trap filled. Weekend for the Big 12. It's like a bunch of geese going into a hunting range, you know.
That's a horrible sound.
I know.
Here on the Iowa Clinic Men's Center podcast. Gee, Christmas. All right. West Virginia versus Alabama in Atlanta?
Yeah. That's holy moly. Like, why?
This is as if the last 2 years weren't, but this is the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
For Dana Holgerson.
Yeah.
It all begins on Saturday at 2:30 on ABC.
What's the line for that game?
I have betting lines in front of me, as I often do this time of year.
Yeah.
It's in the 20s, I know. 26.
Holy moly.
I'd take Bama.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd take Bama in the 26 right now.
Yeah, I would too. That's not going to be pretty. No. That's going to be worse than we expect, too.
It's a bad deal.
Yeah.
K-State is hosting Stephen F. Austin. Snoozer.
Yeah. I think K-State will be fine.
La Tech at Oklahoma. La Tech's a pretty good program.
Entertaining team. There's something, there could be something there. I don't know for sure.
Oklahoma's too good this year to slip up in that one, though.
Yeah.
They're
but it's the first game of the season. You just never know. I don't see that as an upset.
Do you think
though.
Samford, not Who? Stanford, Samford?
Samsonite?
The first three, yep. At TCU?
Yeah.
Fox Sports Net? I didn't know Fox Sports Net still existed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's again. That's the Cardinals games are on that channel.
Yeah.
Central Arkansas is at Texas Tech.
Yeah.
If you snore loudly, you should go to the Iowa Clinic Men's Center. They can help you.
My wife.
They can do all sorts of stuff.
Wait, this is the Iowa Men's,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. But they have female, not at the Men's Center, but they've got a good female department, too. My wife actually just signed up. She's gonna make her way on over.
This is just proof. I said to my wife on the way out, I said, you never listen to this podcast that we do. And she said, yes, I do. And I know for a fact she doesn't. The first one talked about...
Yeah, you're talking about your exes here in Bon Durant.
Exes. Second one, I don't know what I said there. She's got... Now I'm going to say it, she's got horrible snoring. Needs to be addressed. So...
Man, you're
so now
danger, buddy.
I know if she is listening, she will slap the hell out of me.
Jiminy Christmas.
So, yeah, what about North Texas and Texas? You're probably getting to that.
We're getting to that. Dude, Danny Mack,
yeah.
You know how much he likes like
this is what
going
he lives
up against
for.
The big dogs. This is Danny Mack. This is right in his wheelhouse. Charlie Strong's lost a ton of guys,
yep.
Kicked a ton of guys off the team. Remember a couple weeks ago when I was like, there's no way Texas is 6-6?
Yeah.
Can I step up off that?
Yeah.
Because they've lost so much of their depth. I'm not going to predict them to go 6-6, but now I'm more where you were.
5 wins? Maybe
no,
four?
No, they're going to win more than 5 games.
I don't know.
They will be 6-6, but they may not be better.
When they lose this game, which I think they will, how soon do you get the fire Charlie Strong?
Immediately.
Yeah. You're going to get them in like – They're gonna start building them.
Guess
at
the
halftime.
Line in that game.
I'm gonna say Texas is favored by 10.
You're so off.
How? What is it? North Texas?
No.
Okay.
You're farther. You're colder.
25.5. Wow! Holy smokes!
25.5.
Wait, that's Texas?
Texas.
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 Wow. Holy smokes!
Yeah,
they are. Dan McCartney is just laughing.
Oh yeah,
at people.
He loves this.
Yeah,
he loves this. Yeah, no, I
would take North Texas, question.
I would too. Oklahoma State is hosting. Well, they're not hosting. This is in Arlington, Texas. Excuse me. That's at Jerry World. Oklahoma State, Florida State, defending national champ, defending Heisman Trophy winner Jameis Winston.
Holy smokes! Like. Oklahoma State, I don't know where they fall into things this year. I mean, they...
Tommy, it goes back to what... I don't think the Big 12 is as good as people think. I think it's a down year for the league.
It's good, but you don't have those really top-tier national championship
teams. The second-tier teams I don't think are that great, though.
No.
But what I mean by that is, like, your Oklahoma State and Texas should be your second-tier teams this year because I feel like... Baylor and Oklahoma are in a world of their own. I guess Kansas State would be second tier, but I feel like Oklahoma State and Texas should be right there with them.
Yeah.
And I don't think they are.
This is not the year for Iowa State to have so many questions because you think about it, maybe you have the Iowa State team from 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, well, two years ago.
Seven
of those guys on defense were in NFL camps this year. I mean,
you've got a possible seven win team.
Yeah.
Maybe eight.
They should have won that many that year.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're competent at quarterback, they beat Texas Tech and Kansas State that year. Bam, you're at 8-4.
That's what I'm talking about as an Iowa State fan. You shoot for a bowl game every year. Then you hope for a season like this in the Big 12 where everything's not as great as it once was.
Yeah.
And you've got all your pieces lined up and, you know, kind of all the stars aligned. It almost worked out this way.
Florida State is a 17.5-point favorite in that one.
See, I think they should be more.
I would take Florida State there.
Yeah. Oh, no question.
Final Big 12 game of the weekend. Take a quick look at the line. Baylor. I talked about those Baylor Lions at home early in the season. 33-point favorite over SMU.
Their non-conference schedule over the next couple of years, it's a joke. Like it you're is? gonna look out your window one day. They're gonna be playing Bonnaroo for the new stadium.
The battle of teams with new stadiums, Bonnaroo versus Baylor.
It's an absolute joke who they are playing in their non-conference schedules.
I don't really blame them, though.
No.
But. I can't blame them. Art Briles is pretty clear about it. He goes, if we go 9-0 in the league,
yeah,
we're in the playoff. And he's probably right, but that's a pretty big if.
Especially nowadays, you know, the whole idea of the whole you need a strong non-conference schedule. You don't need it as badly as you did before with the previous system. You can get away with it a little bit more. You just have to get into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're going to see more of that, but there are a lot of conferences now that are putting the kibosh on the whole FCS.
It's going to be bad for FCS football.
Yeah.
I mean, they're in trouble. I mean, if you think about Iowa, is not going to be able to play Northern Iowa once that comes into play. I mean, think about that. Think if the Big 12 ever did that.
Yeah.
Which, in my opinion, they should. I have no problem with Northern Iowa or whatnot, but if you're a TV partner, if you're Fox Sports 1, would you rather Iowa State be playing North Dakota State? Because, frankly, let's all be honest here. Iowa State is not a sexy television draw for a national network.
Yeah, yeah.
But would you rather put Iowa State in Toledo, which is a good example,
yeah,
on the air on opening week, or would you rather put North Dakota State? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of pick your poison.
It doesn't matter. It's going to be the same type of competitive game. It's just the whole aura around it, I guess. Maybe that's a bad example, though.
I always think Grandview. National champions.
I mean, former Cyclone quarterback Austin Flynn, now offensive coordinator at Grandview.
And coach Woodley.
Oh,
former Iowa State coach.
That would be storylines up the yin-yang.
I know. We could write about that all season.
Hear that, Jamie Pollard? Let's get Grandview on the schedule, buddy. Tommy, thank you.
This was fantastic.
Now, there's what you need to do, though. You need to get a doctor's appointment.
Yeah.
Be a man.
Be a man. I am a man.
Be a man and go to the doctor.
All right.
Your wife will thank you. I'll give you the number. Write it down.
Okay.
You put it in your cell phone.
Put in my phone.
515.
Hold on. I gotta put the passcode in. 13-19-84. Don't tell anybody. What's the number?
It's 515.
Yeah.
875-9801. The Iowa Clinic Men's
Center. Now I'm once again I'm texting this to my wife, and I'm gonna say it's gotta be something like when she asks, "What is this?" You'll know.
All right, giant test. I'm just trying to eventually save your life someday.
You just don't want me croaking on the podcast.
Trying to save your life. He's Tommy Birch, Des Moines Register. I'm Chris Williams. We'll have a video up at DesMoinesRegister.com later on today. We'll both fire it up on Twitter. At Tommy Birch, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we'll both fire it up on Twitter for you. We'll post it on the forums as well. Another Mr. B Clothing podcast coming tomorrow. Thursday night, our debut radio show from Benchwarmers in Ankeny, the Nebraska Furniture Mart powered Cyclone Fanatic radio show. Brent Bloom will join me from 6 to 7 on 1460 KXNO. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow with another podcast. Plenty of great content coming up later today at CycloneFanatic.com.